Hello and welcome to an Earth First Radio special. We now present part two of the Warrior Poets Night to Howl. This event was recorded live at the Ground River Rendezvous 2005 in the North Cascades of Oregon. And here to introduce the Warrior Poets Night to Howl is the founder of the Warrior Poets Society, Dennis Fritzinger.
Okay, this is Sarah.
This is a kind of a work in progress as I think about what we're really doing here. So it's more of an urban fairy tale of one woman's love affair with an inanimate object. So hold on to your panties, boys and girls, because the following may not be approved by all audiences. Smashing Candy, a magnificent grandstand show of bright and colorful things for the mischievous and melodramatically inclined. Smashing Candy is great. At this point, it's the best thing there is. You find a whole bag of, say, lemon drops, and it's about 2 a.m., and you find a dark, wet street, and there's thunder. And you get a good running start, and you leap into the air with the candy, and it comes crashing down onto the concrete, shattering into probably about a million pieces. With a satisfying crash. I did this thing once where I walked across a street I know, a certain street, probably about a million times, each time moving down the whole length of it, shifting over about an inch, so that by the time I was done, I would have covered nearly every inch of the street by walking laterally. See, I was thinking that I'd lived near this street for over a year, and yet I'd never covered every inch of its surface. In fact, I'd probably, in actuality, covered far less than the majority of inches of its surface area, and suddenly this was this thing that I must do. So to this end, I crossed and recrossed the street, moving down the whole length of it. And I realized that I was fulfilling its theoretical purpose as a street. That is, I realized that I was fulfilling its theoretical purpose as a street, that is, the need to be walked on, probably more than any pedestrian ever had or ever would. And in fact, it was fulfilling my needs as a pedestrian. That is, the need to walk on the surface of the street, probably more than any street ever had before or since. And I realized as a result that I would from thenceforth have a very special relationship with this street. See, I would know this street intimately, having covered nearly every inch of its surface, and it would know me intimately through my footsteps, having felt just thousands of them, and we would know each other as no human and street had ever known each other before, clinging desperately to the knowledge of each other in the face of the force of the earth's spin, an unshakable bond between human and surface that could never be destroyed, come fire or flood or nuke blasts or television. We would be a part of each other for all time, and nothing could ever destroy that, come road rage or talk radio or the mind-bogglingly suburban corporate wasteland gentrified strip mall make-believe lands that pave paradise in the name of Barnes and Noble, Williams-Sonoma, or Linens and Things. No, we would be our own sanctuary in the middle of this concrete jungle, come Cheney or Ashcroft or Limbaugh or Benedict or the International Monetary Fund, World Bank, World Trade Organization's Free Rape of the Americas, or Abu Ghraib or My Lai or Ruby Ridge or Waco, or being a blue state person in the middle of red state territory and feeling the walls closing in on you like the feel of the headlights from that monster truck at 2 a.m. riding your little Japanese import fuel economy ass. No, we would ride it out together, baby. Despite the bovine growth hormone in the milk supply or formaldehyde in the food supply or arsenic or cyanide or antifreeze in the water supply or this methyl ethyl ketone phenylalanine propylene glycol lauryl sulfate chemtrail mind control conspiracy, We would rise up together, united in Bitch and Earth First solidarity. Come diet pills or fluorescent lights or family reunion make nice with the fascist brother who's so afraid of you, he hates you, or the former soulmate turned vampire cousin who sucks you dry looking for one more hit, or the beloved nephew that you're not allowed to see anymore because your political affiliation renders you a dangerous influence, as though you're a member of the Earth Liberation Front or the Weathermen and not just another anti-corporate globalization activist like everyone else you know, unless you consider having a sense of civic responsibility and a working knowledge of the people's history dangerous, then yeah, you're a walking, veritable pipe bomb of liberation. But he can play violent video games until his eyes buck out of his head, and that's okay. No, we would find something real to hold on to in each other, like so many blades of grass reaching for each other, pushing through the cracks of our road-weary souls. Come family therapy or rehab or addiction or the shakes or the mind-numbingly self-conscious self-help self-talk that is supposed to resurrect you but that buries you instead because you use it like every other drug you know in this nicotine, sugar, caffeine nation and obsess. Hello, my name is Sarah and I'm a thinkaholic. Cha-ching! Thank you very much. That'll be $64,000 and please take one with every meal, providing you can still afford to eat under the weight of debt payments and foreclosures and lottery tickets and your boss and the Illuminati and the third world and global warming and the future, or the haunting feeling that we're losing, or worse, embarrassingly, selfishly, excruciatingly middle American indulgent worse, the fifth grade lunchroom sinking feeling of dread that when you walk through those doors, who will you sit next to and what do I look like and is it enough? We would be our own enough, like the rise of the ocean rising to hold the weight of every last drop of blood that we would squeeze from our hearts bursting in recognition of each other in a world hell-bent on breaking that sort of raw power. Come aptitude tests or advanced placement classes or Big Brother's corporate ladder network to the stars or SAT scores or resumes or the real fleecing of America's greatest young minds. Or having to be famous, or needing to be right, or waiting to be saved. No, we would be what we've got. We would be all we needed, and nothing could ever destroy that. And then I thought, wouldn't it be really weird to have that kind of relationship with another human being, or with a tree? Or a forest, or myself. And then I went and bought a whole bag of lemon drops and smashed them all over the surface of the street where I'd just been. And the street let me, because we had that sort of relationship.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you very much. Let's give it up for Megan. Here's Megan.
Wow, I feel so supported. I'm going to start in one that is, like, totally just pure fun. Yeah. We are the descendants of monkeys. A half-primate, half-mutant breed of thumbed freaks. Our shopping malls and high-tech factories prove the point. Without thumbs, there would be no atom bombs. No mushroom clouds or weapons of mass destruction. No middle-class illusions of safety and security. We do not remember our place in the order. We are not the dominant species. Without our toxic toys and poison drugs, we would die. The balance would right itself. Cockroaches would feast on our remains as monkeys rifle through our pockets. For what comes around goes around. We are the descendants of monkeys. And when all is said and done, they will dance on our bones, laughing. Okay, and here's another fairly fun one. Yeah, whatever. And if it doesn't make sense, y'all gotta holler at me. So, Dead Present Tupac, the real hip-hop, the Dixie Chicks and Chris, the country swish. For rock, we got Warren Zevon and the Grateful Dead. But let's not forget the others who've led and been led, like Rod Stewart, Ozzy, and Prine. These are the people, the great and the poor, the ones who inspire, the ones who endure. Like Mumia, Abu Jamal, Get Freedom. Brick by brick and wall by wall, we'll free them. As the government falls, no more popo shooting you 41 times in the back, or beating the unarmed young poor and black. Let's shatter the chains and tear through the net, break the spell, tear the veil off our eyes, see clearly, fight the lies. We must try or fall to our demise. I can live without losing the fight, but I must fight it. I must fight for what's right, even if I have to die for the cause. I just can't live with a half-lived life. All right, and now I'm going to have to do a classic one, and there's actually kind of a story behind this. My dad actually wrote it, but I'm always the one who performs it, so I've kind of, like, become the person who does that. But if anybody here remember the Seattle 1999 WTO? Well, this poem was actually written before Seattle, but I think that it is the most perfect telling of that event that there can ever be written. So it's called Write in Slow Motion. Half-baked, journal the revolution. Get it straight, share a solution. Fuck you, get a job with Nike. Ho Chi Minh is dead, tear up on the psyche. It's bullshit all this talk about equality. Sandinistas driven for popularity. America, owners of the factories. Kill the revolution, slave labor builds the TVs. President Clinton jerks off headwater, sits peacefully in trees. Why fucking even bother? Throw a bomb, blow Hurwitz asunder. Let the fucker quake, terrified of thunder. Make this place so goddamn pretty. Pepper spray, weed and seed in every city. Harry, he people, fools and folly. CEOs laugh so jolly. Red hot riot, super shopping, come and try it. Children beaten, chances fleeting. Burn the planet, beg, borrow, and scam it. Childish rebels, anarchist planet. Slash the road, burn the bulldozers, damn it. Toss a Molotov cocktail off the roof. Yell a ditty, duck and spoof. Police in danger, gun down shader. Streets ain't safe, carry pager. City streets can't leak or shit. Move your ass, don't have a fit. Place smells like shattered glass. Riot summer, empower the lower class. The super rich play golf and die. The super poor buy guns and try. Limiting factor, police injustice. Burn a cop car, shouting, bin and kiss this. New world order, new old border. Nazi jackboots, stealing loot. Poor people paying, pray and pray. Find enough to whorehouse and lay and lay. Feed the fowl, nuclear reactor. Feed the fire, tractor after tractor. Hairy hippies, society slackers. Culture clashes, cause it fucking matters. Okay, and I'm actually doing two more poems by my dad, cause, well, he writes kick-ass poetry, but he doesn't always have enough air to perform them, so. This is one of the more meaningful poems. It's called If I Die Before I Wake. If I die before I wake, I pray to God my soul to take. I leave the bastards nothing, not a heart to break. If I die before my time, I wish my love to be spoken in rhyme, and let all I love to know. I do love you and wish to praise. Before I breathe my last and go, the journey is long, but death I do not fear, because I know all I love are here, in one place. And so I leave without a trace, and know that we will win the race to freedom's gate. All that I fight I can respect, no matter their crimes and defects. Characters and characters have walked with me and talked with me, all saying, if you die, die free. Love is spoken, my words are but a token of how I feel. Just know my words are real, and we all know the deal. So if I die before I top that hill, make your way without me, carry me in your heart, and you will see in the dark. Light the fire, let my ashes be the spark. Burn strong and true, this is all I ask of you. Do this, my loving friends, and if I die before the end, know my love I send. But you must not pretend there is no loss or pain. The sky is filled with tears of purple rain. Emptiness but a train. No matter how long it lasts, know that it will always pass. And so, if I die before I wake, I pray to God my soul to take. And for you, my love, I will always wait. If I die before I wake. Yes. Daughters of Chaos! We are Daughters of Chaos! We are not the droids you are looking for, and if we were, you would not find us. We exist only in your erotic nightmares, just when you think you got us trapped in your pain-compliant submission. We fly off your manhood, laughing. And now, final poem, written by me. Does not have a name. I stare, mesmerized by the hellish restraint of this now alien landscape. My broken heart yearns for what can never be. Yearns for love, for kisses and hugs, for a gentle touch, a man's embrace. The whispered words of sweet, sweet seduction. A fiery passion that burns dreams and nightmares alike. An uncontrollable lust, a cry, a laugh, a scream of agony and joy. A sensation of all possibilities sitting on your fingertips in the shape of fairies and demons. Going to places in and beyond the meager accommodations of the mind. Flying through worlds and feelings yet unheard of in even humane society. An extension of you that continues to expand. A thought of loneliness forgotten in the onslaught of the connection that happens when soul meets soul and hearts join together in the pulsing beat of drums. A dance starts, weaving its rhythmic pulse in and out of your mind. You join it, becoming one with more than him, creating a colony of love as images of long-faded dreams come to life and dance with you. Many voices fill the air, along with a chorus of laughter, howling and singing praises to the moon, for her light guides lovers on such nights, to the mother goddess, whose power of imagination will sing you to sleep and raise you with nightmares of death and pain. A weeping child is heard, the ghosts of ancestors comfort when all seems lost. Mournful rushes of tears crawl down every cheek and muzzle. We cry, for the need of tears is as great as that for laughter. We learned our lessons well. We sung our song, we danced our dance. And now it is time to sleep before the morning of eternal night raises her shining head and we must say goodbye. We must say goodbye.
Thank you, Megan. Great. Let's hear it for Megan. Okay, Storm, you ready?
I do believe.
Okay.
Ready as I'll ever be.
Okay, let's hear it for Storm. Here he is, the weatherman.
Thank you very much. I'm very glad to be here, and even more so than that, I'm glad you're all here. This is the 25th anniversary, so to speak, of Earth First and the Rendezvous. I think there's a number of things that we should remember this rendezvous for. One of them, I think this should be the year of the three Dennises, okay, or the Deni. One of them is Berkeley warrior poet Dennis. And then there's Uncle Dennis over here, Earth First Radio Network. And now we have Hurricane Dennis in the Caribbean Sea. It's an F4 hurricane out of five being the strongest, and it's bearing down on the oil plantations of the Gulf Coast. I'm going to start out with some other people's work. I had a conversation with warrior poet Dennis some years ago about song lyrics that had a really strong deep ecology theme. And some of my favorite music of all time is the hardcore rock music of the 60s and 70s. So I've been really into that music, not only as music, but also as poetry. I mean, I think some of the greatest poetry created by white males in the 20th century is essentially the lyrics to a lot of these rock songs. And I've been going back through these songs and the lyrics, which is a lot easier to do now, thanks to the internet, to look for songs that had a very distinct earth-based theme to them. And I usually bring one or two of these to these events, and tonight is no exception. The Jefferson Airplane released the Surrealistic Pillow album in 1967. And there's a really awesome song on there that's blatantly anti-technology and really pokes serious satire at America's love affair with the car, which was more than apparent by 1967, believe me. And it's called Plastic Fantastic Lover. Her neon mouth with the blinkers off smile, nothing but an electric sign. You could say she has an individual style. She's a part of a colorful time. Secrecy of lady, chrome-colored clothes you wear because you have no other. But I suppose no one knows you're my plastic fantastic lover. Her rattling cough, it never shuts off. It's nothing but a used machine. Her aluminum finish, slightly diminished, is the best I ever have seen. Cosmetic baby plugged into me, I'd never ever find another. I realize that no one's wise to my plastic fantastic lover. The electrical dust is starting to rust her trapezoid thermometer taste. All the red tape is mechanical rape of the TV program waste. Data control and IBM, science is mankind's brother. But all I see is draining me on my plastic fantastic lover. A song decrying technology, disconnection from nature, and the growing love affair with the auto. Are there any other hardcore fans of, like, the old Pink Floyd music here? Between, like, 66 and 73, Syd Barrett and a little bit after that? I am, too. How many people here are familiar with the Adam Hart Mother album, which came out in 1970? David Gilmour wrote a really awesome song about his child memories of summertime in rural England. And I think it's a really beautiful song. And the poem, while short, is very sweet. And it's called Fat Old Sun. Unlike the album, the title track, which is like 18 minutes long or something. When the fat old sun and the sky is falling, summer evening birds are calling. Summer's thunder, the time of year, the sound of music in my ears. Distant bells and new-mown grass smells, oh so sweet. By the river, holding hands, roll me up and lay me down. And if you sit, don't make a sound, pick your feet up off the ground. And if you hear, as the warm night falls, the silver sound from a time so strange, sing to me, please sing to me. When that fat old sun in the sky is falling, summer evening birds are calling. Children's laughter in my ears. The last sunlight disappears. And if you sit, don't make a sound. Pick your feet up off the ground. And if you hear as the warm night falls, the silver sound from a time so strange. Sing to me, please sing to me, when that fat old sun in the sky is falling. Okay, I have a couple little short, sweet ones that I've written over the years. This one is called Paradox. There she lay, on the table, writhing and screaming, in a dull gray acid rain. Demons in clothing, grinning and lolling, violated her being relentlessly. Why do we, who see ourselves nobly, derive so much from degradation? This one is called Lament. She gave me a gift. Green and pure, warm and wet. And while it was mine, I ruined it. Shame and desolation. Dry and pitted. Smudged, stained and distempered. Left only with stumped fields, scoured hillsides, yesterday's rivers and viral shivers, and nothing left worth breathing. So I moved away. Struck out forlorn across the desert. I didn't want it anymore. I have a series of about a half a dozen poems, and they're all entitled Revolution, and they're all different from each other. And I'm going to do the very first one that I ever wrote. And I have now, they've all been titled Revolution, and then Revolution Roman numeral 2, Revolution Roman through Revolution Roman numeral 6. See, thank you. Number nine. This is the first one. It's called Revolution. Oh, good, they got it. Life is fraught with conspiracy. Some conspire to create, evolve. Others to destroy, deny, consume. To sense conspiracy without knowing the motive, the end is frighteningly disconcerting. To know, however, is to act. To join one effort and to overthrow the other. God bless us. This next one is called Blessing. I have one or two more. This is called Blessing. No, just Blessing. There's lots of blessings, but I've only written about one of them. Well, no, that's not true either. You know, one of the things that I really dig about this event is that you see all these different people up here, and no two presentations are even closely alike. I mean, it's a totally different dimension every time somebody gets up here. And that's one of, I mean, I've read in a lot, I read poetry in a number of different places, kind of like to do the beatnik thing every now and then when I'm in a place long enough. But this is the most varied, I think, poetry reading I've ever attended. And that's one of the things that I really love about it. And a lot of people in our circles write really awesome poetry about the tree and the stream and the wolf and the whale and the coyote and everything else. I really love that, and I like exploring another realm of wild nature, which is things like the storm and the wind and the tsunami and the earthquake and things that really, really show a whole lot of people at one time who's really in charge, no matter how hard they try to deny it. Woo. Woo. And this song, Blessing, is an example of one of those. Sometimes the wind foreshadows the rain. At other times, the rain heralds the wind. Yet when a mature thunderstorm passes over, the two arrive together in unison. Interdependent, wild-eyed newlyweds. Pagan, dancing maniacally amid flashes, crashes, and explosions. Low clouds twisting and writhing in their vortical turbulence. Spilling them both together onto the earth. Bending her before them, moaning. To tear across the landscape and out to sea, laughing hysterically. Another atmospheric orgasm to ensure the future for millions of other beings later. I got one more. Now, some of you heard me a couple of times announcing at the Morning Circle that I was looking for both a guitar player and a harmonica player. I've actually found a guitar player. He doesn't have a guitar, though. But he knows that he says he can play Midnight Rambler by the Stones. If I can get a guitar and a guitar player and a harmonica player together by the day of the rally, I want to perform this. What I've done is I've taken the song and rewritten it, and it's called Late Night Wrencher. I've sent this to a number of musicians in our circles already, so hopefully people are going to toy around with this. This could be a lot of fun in the years to come. Did you hear about the Late Night Wrencher? Well, the time has come for you to know. Let me tell you about the Late Night Wrencher. She's the one who glued the office door. She don't waste her time in desperate mourning, dressed in camo in a shady black hood. She comes and goes in the dark without warning, and dives underground when dawn reaches the woods. Singing about the late night creeper, the one the pigs never get to see. We rapping about the daytime sleeper, scheming against the powers that be. No use crying about the tragedy of Babylon, or pissing your whimsy in the snow. Well, talking about the critter liberator, the one who lets the wild things go. Woo! So did you notice the late night wrencher slip out the back of the acid punk show? Yep, I'm blathering about the tippy-toe trencher, the sprite who tore up the logging road. Well, you learned about the veil arson. I didn't do it, but I wish I had. So fuck all these white yuppie parsons who whine that such tactics are so bad. Zippers don't jingle and her steps show no order. Bushes shudder under a moon grinning wide. An elf sneaking through the labyrinths of mortar. Hey, Dr. Jekyll, this is the hour to hide. So if you ever ID the late night wrencher when some drunk drops her name in the bar, be sure to spit on everyone else's censure and just know how lucky you really are. And if you and don't you ever narc out the late night wrencher. If you value your own mortal soul, she may be the last hope for tomorrow, or we can all hang like Judas on a pole. So you know about the late night wrenchers, just as sure as the shit on their shoes. They best work in threes for at least seven, softly whistling those Abbey-esque blues. And if you find that you're a late night wrencher, turning werewolf under that grinning full moon, nursing love and wounds in the AM shelter, rest assured, baby, I'm singing your tune, and it rocks. Thank you very much.
Woo! Yeah! Nice song. Yeah.
You have been listening to part two of A Warrior Poet's Night to Howl. Be sure to listen to all five parts of this Earth First Radio special. I'm Uncle Dennis, and thank you for listening to Earth First Radio.
No compromise.